Tonight's shiur is dedicated to Le'ilu Nishmas Sima Yeta Bas Ovadia. This week we have the pleasure of studying together Parshas Re'eh. Parshas Re'eh is a very, very jammed-packed parsha. So many, many different things to get to. So many mitzvahs, so many ideas, so many concepts, so many restrictions. Much, much to talk about in this week's parasha. So we're going to try to give a short overview of what you'll find in this week's parasha, and then we'll try to tackle the parasha inside like we often do. So just to remind ourselves, Parashas Re'eh is a continuation of last week's parasha, which is a continuation of the parasha before, where Moshe Rabbeinu was giving a very long, 36-day-long Musar Shmuz. Moshe Rabbeinu was giving his last advice, parting words and advice, and guidance for the Jewish people before his death. And this week's parasha, he goes with a different angle. Last week's parasha, the angle was the mistakes that you're going to make. And this week's parasha, Moshe Rabbeinu is going a different route. And predominantly what he discusses is what's going to happen when you get into Eretz Yisrael. What's going to happen when you get into the land of Israel and you're going to see and you're going to be exposed to Goyim. You're going to be exposed to foreign religions. You're going to be exposed to things you've never seen before. And you have to make sure to get rid of it. You need to realize that none of the outside influence of anything you saw by the Goyim, from the Goyim, from the other nations, will be productive in your serving Hashem. It all needs to be uprooted, removed, destroyed, obliterated, and never to be seen again. And also, there's going to be an emphasis on the Beis HaMikdash in this week's parasha, the importance of Karbonos. We're going to be discussing the idea of eating Ma'is HaSheni, and the like will also be discussed in this week's parasha. We also find in this week's parasha that that there's three major topics which I hope to get to. The idea of a mesis, that's someone who tries to convince you to serve by the Zara. The idea of a Navi Sheker, that is a false prophet who comes and starts talking about prophecies that are incorrect. And then the last group, part of that group, is what's called an Irani Dachas, an entire city, a city full of idol worshippers. We then also in this week's parasha discuss the kashrus of animals, what makes a kosher animal, what makes an animal not kosher. We also discuss the rules of meiser, tithing, taking off, again, the meiser discussed in the Torah is either meiser karka or meiser behema, a tenth from your field or a tenth of your animals. The Torah does not deliberately discuss what we call today meiser ksafim, a tenth of your income. We've discussed it in the halacha shir at length. You can take a look on Yayu Torah, all the detailed halachas for what's called today Meiser Ksafim. But the concept of Meiser, taking off a tenth, is found in this week's parasha, as well as the mitzvah of Shemitah, and the concept of Shemitah, where all debt and owed loans become batel, are no longer collectible after the Shemitah year. And then lastly, the Torah concludes with the mitzvah of Tzedakah, which we'll get into tonight, the mitzvah of Anokah. Anaki is a payment that you give when you send your Eved Ivri free, your Jewish slave, when he leaves. He gets a parting gift called Anaka. And then the last two major parashas in this week's parasha is Pigeon Behema. The person has an animal that's the firstborn, he needs to redeem the animal. And believe it or not, the end of Parashas Re'eh actually discusses the Yamim Toivim. So if you're looking to find one day, you want to research more about Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, so besides for looking in Parashas Emor, which is where the Torah does discuss the Mayadim, it's also discussed in the end of Parashas Re'eh. I think it's Shvi'i and on, or towards the end, is the Regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. And that's basically Parashas Re'eh in under 4 minutes. That's what you should expect to see during the reading of Parashas Re'eh. Okay, now that we got that overview, now we will start to tackle different segments, different parts of the parasha, and focus on them. Before we even open up the parasha, we need to turn to the very, very important words of Rabbeinu Bechaya in his introduction. I've made it almost a habit, hopefully not a shail of neder, but I'd like to always say over, at least take a look, and see what does Rabbeinu Bechaya write in his introduction to each one of the parashas. And in this week's parasha, he gives us such an important idea that we all need to live by, and I believe we're all guilty of it. And I am the first to admit that I am extremely guilty of some of what Rabbeinu Bechaya is going to tell us. Rabbeinu Bechaya opens up and he tells us there are four types of atzlos. There are four categories of people that are lazy. There are four groups of people that are lazy in four different areas. And he goes through the four areas. The first area, he says, bibesai. People are lazy in their home. What does that mean? It means they're not all that interested in painting the house when it needs to be painted. They're not all that interested in fixing the leaky roof. They're not all that interested in fixing the mistake in the house. They're just lazy. They don't get around to doing it until the wife nudges them enough and enough, and finally they go and they take care of it. That's called the otzel bebesai, says Rabbeinu Bachaya. You're lazy in your own house, you don't care about it, you don't get around to doing the little things you're supposed to do. Then there's otzel begufoi. Person's lazy in his body, he doesn't go for his physical, he doesn't go for his annual checkup by his doctor, and he doesn't check up and when things are perhaps not working well. He just doesn't care. He's lazy. I don't want to go to the doctor. I don't want to schedule a visit. I don't want to go down to his office. I don't want to have to wait. I don't want to go through the procedures. So he's laziness. He's otzel begufoy, says Rabbeinu Bachaya. He's lazy with his body. And we all know that sadly when people are lazy with their bodies and they don't get the proper checking up as they should, they could miss things that if they only would have known of earlier, perhaps could be cured or treated better. Then, says Rabbeinu Bachaya, there's another category. So this is all very physical. Otzel bebesai means you're lazy around the house. You don't take out the garbage, and you don't clean up after yourself, and you don't paint the roof, or you don't paint the wall. These are all things that are obviously not spiritually based. Again, otzel begufoy, being lazy with your body, it could be potentially dangerous, but we're predominantly discussing physical, gashmis. Then, says Rabbeinu Bachaya, but there's two other categories that he calls otzel b'neshama, or b'nefesh. You don't take stock of your spiritual path in life. You don't think about where you're going and what you're doing and is everything that you're doing correct or incorrect and what's your plan for spirituality, which is lazy. And then his last category is atzlus b'toyre u'b'mitzvus. We're lazy when it comes to learning, or we're lazy when it comes to mitzvahs. We just don't get around to it. We're not in the mood to get up and do anything. We just, rather sit on the couch, relax, play on our phone. We're not all that quick. But not the opposite of an otzel is a zarus. Someone who's quick, jumps out of his seat, he's running to the daf yomi, he's running to the shir, he's running to the minyanim. We're more lazy, we'll get back to it later. I'll listen to it on a recording, I'll listen to it next week. I'll get to it when I get to it. Says Rabbeinu Bachaya, that's an otzel b'teiru b'mitzvus. Many of us are very lazy when it comes to the way we perform teiru mitzvus. We don't want to overexert ourselves. We don't want to push ourselves. Yeah, if it comes, if the mitzvah comes to my lap and I don't have to move more than a foot, I'm all down for it. You ask me to get up off the couch and get up and do something, that's already beyond my ability. Says the Rabbeinu Bachaya, these are the four categories of laziness. And I think, speaking for myself, I fit into all of these categories that sometimes we all do, where we're a little lazy with all of these in Yonim, with our health, which we shouldn't, and with our home, which we shouldn't. And it's interesting, he never says anyone's lazy with their business. That no one's lazy for. When a person's trying to grow a business, he's trying to succeed in business, that they're never lazy with. That they're running, and they're excited, and they're pushing, and they're doing, because that's important to them. These other things are not so important. Says Rabbeinu Bachaya, how do we conquer? Says Rabbeinu Bachaya, how do we conquer? How do we conquer atzlos of all of these things? Says Rabbeinu Bachaya, very simple. Says Rabbeinu Bachaya, the way we conquer atzlos of all these things is this week's parasha. Is realizing, and this is the theme of this week's parasha, is the realization that we decide our future. We are in control of our destiny. We have the ability to decide what's going to be. We control our outlook, our life. If we decide that we are going to not be lazy, it's up to us. Laziness is not an infection that we are stuck with. Laziness is something that we all can work on. We can manage it. We can deal with it. It is up to us. The choice is ours. Says Rabbeinu Bachaya, the choice is ours to decide if we're going to continue in a path of an otzel, are we continue to be lazy, or are we going to change our path in life and be much more of a zarus. And that's really, if I had to sum up a lot of Parshas Re'eh, Parshas Re'eh is all about setting a path for oneself. It's all about setting a future, a mahalach, of your destiny. How do you want your future to look? How do you want your life to look? Because at the end of the day, we are the only ones that are in control of our destiny. That's how we open up a district's parasha. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, Re'eh, look! I'm giving in front of you today bracha uklala. Moshe Rabbeinu telling the Jewish people, look at the paths that are in front of you. You have two paths in life. You have two paths in life to decide what you want to do. Do you want to live a lifestyle of bracha? Do you want to live a lifestyle of bracha and good and accomplishing? That's up to you. If you want to live a lifestyle of klala, that's also, it's all up to you. No one is forcing you in any direction, meaning you can control your life. And it's extremely empowering to realize that we control our destiny. The Chedusha Arim, the great Ger Rebbe, pointed out, we make this bracha every single morning. We acknowledge the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the seichel to the rooster to make the sound. And we are all given seichel to make decisions. We are all given the ability and the capability to make decisions. Sometimes we make good decisions, and sometimes we make reckless decisions. But at the end of the day, this week's parasha is the reminder that it's all up to us. We have the abilities to make decisions. We live in a world today that in politics, there is a narrative that certain people are destined to fail. You know, certain people from low-income families, from colored families, they tell you they don't stand a chance. That is absolutely not true. I don't believe that's a Torah outlook, and I don't believe that's a secular outlook. Everyone has choices. I'm not saying some people have it harder. They have more obstacles to overcome because they're coming from a complicated home. I am agreeing to that. But to say that anyone is destined to be poor for the rest of their life, or destined to be in a gang for the rest of their life, or destined never to be matzliach, is absolutely not true. That is a huge cop-out answer that people say when they don't want to work on themselves. If a person really wants to accomplish, everyone and anyone can accomplish it. They put their heart to it, they put their mind to it, they're devoted, they're dedicated, despite their financial upbringing, despite their family upbringing. I've seen many people from very, very poor families be extremely successful. Many people from very wealthy families to be very unsuccessful. None of that has anything to do with what you want to do. It's your choice. It's up to you. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klai Yisrael, listen, it's up to you. You will now have a future in front of you. You have to make a decision. You need to decide. You need to work out on your own which path you want to follow. You want to go down the path of good and follow the lifestyle of Torah mitzvahs, it will all be terrific. You want to go down a negative lifestyle, you want to go a lifestyle that's going to be focused on self-pleasure and self-enjoyment, so you'll feel better, but you're not going to be a happier person. Many studies have shown many of these people that are looking for happiness in the world today turn to alcohol, turn to drugs, turn to all these other things, and they find absolutely no happiness. They are more miserable and more alone than when they started out. So if a person is looking for true bracha, true blessing, the Torah says the way you follow it is very clear. Listen to my mitzvahs. Simple. You want a life of blessing, you want a life of happiness, you want a life of fulfillment, you want to feel good about yourself? Simple. I have rules, Torah, mitzvahs, follow it, you'll be the happiest person in the world. Will you be the wealthiest person in the world? Maybe not, but you'll be the happiest person. The Torah is giving us a guide not only to how to live, but the Torah is giving us a guide to ensure that we have a happy life. And therefore, the opening of this week's parasha, and in my opinion, the theme of this week's parasha, is A, the significance and the importance of decision making. We live in a world today that no one wants to make decisions. People want to be told by others what to do because it removes the burden of responsibility. Part of being an adult, or at least a successful adult, is to be able to make decisions. And a person has to stand behind his decision, and he has to be proud of his decision. Doesn't mean we don't make bad decisions. We all do. And we regret it, and we move on. But this week's parasha is all about realizing it's there. Make the right decision. Choose the path that's going to be the path that Hashem is going to be proud of. Rabbi Avraham Guzensky was the brother-in-law of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. They married two sisters. They married the daughters of the Mashkiach in the Slobodsky Yeshiva. If you remember on Tisha B'Av, the Tisha B'Av Shir, we spoke about him. He was murdered by the Ukrainians, not by the Nazis. He was murdered by the Ukrainians. He was murdered by the Nazis. Rabbi Chanan was murdered by the Ukrainians. He died in the Holocaust. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said, with his death came the end of the Muslim movement. He took over his father-in-law as the Mashkiach in the Slobodsky Yeshiva. So they say that his nephew, he had a nephew named Reb Pinchas, who somehow saved or rewrote or remembered the shmuzim that his uncle used to give. And they printed it up in a sefer called Mibeis Avraham. Very nice sefer. And there he makes the following observation. He points out that this week's parasha is not even about doing mitzvahs. This week's parasha is just about realizing the choice in life. Forget doing. That's step B. Step two is doing. Step one is picking a path. Picking a choice, making a choice that I want to live a Torah life. And then you'll figure out what a Torah life is. You'll do mitzvahs, you'll learn Torah, fine. But he points out that step number one is just to stop and think. And this is a lost art in the world of today, because today we live in a world that moves so fast, and we live in a technological world, which means we're always playing on our phones, which basically gives us no time for any introspection. Elul is around the corner this week, Shabbos Mevarchem Elul. We got to at least start thinking about the Yomim Neroyim. I know it's hard to imagine You know, there's just Color War just started in camp this week, and you know it's thriving up in the mountains, Baruch Hashem. It's hard to imagine that Elul's around the corner, but Elul's around the corner. Elul's all about thinking about life, thinking about our path, thinking about what we're doing. So says Rav Avraham, that's what this week's parasha is about. This week's parasha is about is stopping and making a decision, thinking about which path you're going to take, and realize that the path of truth and happiness is the path of Torah. Because all that happens in this world is good. The person follows the Kadosh Baruch and follows the Torah Mitzvah, that is the path to happiness. That is the key. That is the answer that we're all looking for. Is the key to happiness is living a Torah life. And that's really, I think, the essence of this week's parasha is Re'eh Anochi Me'aseif Nechayim. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Jewish people, look, listen and see. I'm giving you, Hashem is giving you. It's not me, it's Hashem. Hashem is giving you the paths in life and the path that will bring you joy and the path that will bring you uncomfortability. But the kasha that all the mafarshim are bothered with is if you look carefully at the grammar of the first pasuk, Re'eh is a singular version. It means I'm talking to one individual. Anochi Me'aseif Lefnechem in front of you is plural. So are we talking to an individual or are we talking to the mass? Asks many of the mafarshim. It's a very big discussion. Why the change of the grammar? Why does Moshe Rabbeinu open up, say the word re'eh, which means to look in a singular form, which means he's talking to one person, but then he says, look, Hashem gave in front of you, which is to the plural. Are we talking to one or are we talking to many? So the Kli Yakar answers this question by saying that there's a very important message over here, the balance between individuality and being part of a group. The Kli Yakar explains that we often underestimate the power of one individual. Quotes the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Mem, the Gemara in Kedushin tells us that one individual can sway and change the entire future of the whole world. If one yid does a mitzvah, one yid does tzedakah, he can change machriya, he can change lekav schos for the entire world. And he points out that we have a concept in halacha called arvus. Arvus means I'm responsible for you, which means if I already did a mitzvah, I can still do the mitzvah for you. Classic example, if I already made kiddush, I can make kiddush for you because of arvus. Where did we get arvus? Where was arvus learned from? It's learned from, we got it at Hagrizim and Har-Evil. At that time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the brachas v'klolas, is when we were exposed to the idea of arvus. Says the Kli Yakar, that's the realization of that one can affect the mass. One person in his house learning Torah, one person in his house in a small little community in the middle of nowhere learning Torah, davening, doing chesed can change the reality. One person davening could be, perhaps be the reason why someone in another side of the world will not get sick, will not die, will not be poor. Don't underestimate the ability of one person. Rav Moshe Feinstein answers this question differently. He says that he bases on a chazal that sometimes an individual, his reward will be limited due to the generation that he finds himself in. So says Rav Moshe, the schar that we give to the yachid, to the individual, is dependent on the tzibur. If the tzibur is not deservant, then the yachid will also not be deservant of his worthy schar. Will have to get it in a different venue. But Rav Moshe Weiss points out a very, very beautiful pshat over here. Rav Moshe Weiss writes in the Sefer Minchas Asher and the Shmuzim, in the back of the Minchas Asher, and it's a separate Sefer depending on which one you have, he has in Sichas, he points out like this. He says that when we do a mitzvah as an individual, we don't realize the influence we have on the tzibur. Not like the Kli Yakar because of the schar. Says Rav Moshe Weiss, do you realize if someone watches you do a mitzvah and they do the mitzvah? If someone gains from you and they're inspired by you and they're motivated by you and then they do it and they spread it to someone else, do you know how amazing that is? Says Rav Moshe Weiss, that's the contrast between the yachid and the plural. Yachid means one person does something, but it has a ripple effect on the tzibur. One person gets up and makes a movement and starts something, it affects everyone. And we all have to realize, says Rav Moshe Weiss, that our actions drastically affect those around us. If one guy talks in shul and the guy in the next table says, oh, it's okay to talk in shul, then he talks in shul. And one guy talks Lashon Hara, and the next guy talks Lashon Hara because it's okay for him, it's okay for me. And he quotes from his Rebbe, the Klausenberger Rebbe, who quotes from the Chafetz Chaim, that there was a boy who grew up in Russia. His name was Leibel Bronstein. Who was Leibel Bronstein? More, we know him today as Leon Trotsky, the father of a very, very troubling movement which killed and ruined many, many Jewish lives. Said the Chafetz Chaim, his Rebbe in Chayt is going to be held accountable. Because for whatever reason, his Rebbe did not be mechanech, Label in the proper direction, and Label turned into Leon Trotsky. He turned out to be a terrible, terrible Sein Yisrael, murdered and destroyed Jewish life. says the Chavetz Chaim, because he's going to be accountable for him. It's going to be held accountable for him. Again, obviously, there's a lot of details here that are need to be worked on. We're not going to say every kid that goes off the derech, it's always the Rebbe's fault. But nonetheless, the point that Rabbi Shweis is trying to make is that we have to realize that one person's actions can affect many, many people. So, therefore, says Rabbi Shweis, that's the contrast between the Yachid and the Tzibur. Then he says another pshat. He says another idea of it is that a Yachid needs to sometimes get out of his four corners and look towards the group and see, what can I do to help the people? Sometimes you have yichidim, you have individuals that are really very self-absorbed. They're really just caught up in their own life. They're busy with their own family, and they're busy with their own needs. And they're basically trying to survive the world in their own little box. Says the Bashar Weiss, we need to step out of that box and ask ourselves, how can I help the greater tzibur? How can I make a difference? How can I help lessen the burden that yidin as a whole are carrying? How can I make a difference? How can I get involved? How can I be an active helper in Klal Yisrael's burden? And I just watched this week a beautiful video, which I never knew. There's an unbelievable organization we discussed on Sunday show. We discussed infertility in Klal Yisrael. So there's a wonderful organization called Bnei Olam. They just had a massive fundraiser. Baruch Hashem raised a significant amount of money. And they really helped to try to give families the best chance to be able to have children with all the latest medical involvement that we have, and with money and all these other things. And it was started by a couple, Chassidish couple, and I didn't know this. The couple themselves were never able to have children, and this the wife of the, their name is the Bachners. Mrs. Bachner told the story that years ago, before there were any organizations, she was in a facility trying to get treatment, and she was sitting with another woman from Muncie. She didn't really know her, and the woman said that she can't get treatment because she doesn't have the money. And at that moment, Mrs. Bachner said to herself, Money shouldn't be a reason people shouldn't have children. And she started this organization. One person, seeing a need, started an organization that has now helped thousands upon thousands of people to have children. So that's mamish, this idea that Rabbi Shweis is saying. Look out of our own dalarams. Remember, she was in a lot of pain at this time, this woman. She was just basically notified she's never going to have children. And she was thinking about, how can I help another Jew? And she made an unbelievable movement, a mass movement, which Baruch Hashem today is very, very successful and very productive and has helped so many people have children. So I think the message that Rabbi Shweis is saying in this, the first pasuk is that don't underestimate the individuality. Of course, we're all individuals. We're all re'ei. We're all singular. But we need to be able to look towards the greater group. We need to ask ourselves, what can I do to help Klal Yisrael? And I had a friend of mine who said he was at a meeting once with all the big askonim, all the big heads of all the major Jewish organizations. And they went around the room and they asked, they said, how did you start this organization? And almost everyone gave the same answer. I saw there was a need. That was it. I saw there was a need. Klal Yisrael needed this, so I stepped up to the plate and I started this organization. That's how most of our organizations got started. Because someone felt there was a need, and he saw that Klal Yisrael needed help, and they stepped up to the plate. That's what this week's parasha is telling us. We need to see, look, out of our own dalaramas, out of our own issues, and is there a void? Is there something missing in Klal Yisrael that we can help? Baruch Hashem, Klal Yisrael has done so much. We have Atzalah and Chaverim and Bikur Cholim and Gemachs and you name it. Baruch Hashem, we have it. It's amazing what we've done. But I would tend to believe there's more we can do, and we need to ask ourselves, what more could we do to help lessen the burden of Klal Yisrael, of Jews, B'chol Mokim Shehem, wherever they are, help lessen their burden and make their life a little easier. But Moshe Bit points out that he thinks that this pasuk of Re'ei Anochi Noisei Lefneichem Hayoyim is Moshe Rabbeinu who's giving us a very, very important message. Moshe Rabbeinu is not only saying that there's two paths in life to choose, you know, the Torah path and the non-Torah path, you know, the lifestyle of Torah and mitzvah versus the lifestyle of partying and you know, what the secular world does. No, the Torah is focusing on one very specific midah. Says Rabbi Moshe Bit, the Torah is telling us, look at the power of your mouth. I'm giving you today a choice to be made with your mouth. The mouth is such an important body part. Our mouth can be used for the most holiest of holiest things, to talk Torah, make brachas, to daven, to eat matzah on Pesach, to eat food on Shabbos, to do mitzvahs with. Our dibur can be used for all divrei kedusha. But the flip side is our mouth can also be used for things that are bad. Lashon hara, mean things to people, Machalas Asuras, which is also discussed in this week's parasha. So therefore says the Torah is telling us, you should know there's two paths over here. There's two paths in life, not only for lifestyles, but individually, break it down. Even in the body part, the mouth can go to be used for good, the mouth can be used for bad. The mouth can be used for macholos kasheris. You can use your mouth to eat matzah on the Pesach, which is the mitzvah, and drink four cups. And you can use your mouth to eat in the sukkah. And you can use your mouth to say divrei Torah. And you can use your mouth to say wonderful things to people and call people on the phone and do things like that. Or you can use your mouth for other things, cursing. You can use your mouth to speak lashon hara. You can use your mouth to slander people. Therefore, says the Moshe Beit, that's what the Torah is telling us. Realize this. Realize that your mouth, the koyach adibur, the ability to speak, the ability to open your mouth, has two paths, and you need to decide which one to use. The Baal HaTurim has many pshatim on the word re'e. The word re'e means to see, to gaze. But as we mentioned, the word re'e is singular. So the Baal HaTurim has a pshat, and the Aruch Haim elaborates on this pshat, that Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Jewish people, re'e, look at me. I want everyone to look at me. That's the way you read the pasuk. Re'e, Anochi Naseh Dechem, everyone look at me. What does it mean, everyone look at me? So the Rechaim HaKadosh explains that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying is, look, you can all be like me. You can all do it. You can all rise to the Madrega. You can be like me. Don't think it's out of your grasp. Don't think it's out of your reach. You can be. Obviously, we know you can't mamish be like Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam writes, there was no Navi that ever was as great as Moshe Rabbeinu. But many Mefarshim point out what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying is, listen guys, I know what life is like. I know the desires of this world. I grew up in a palace in Mitzrayim. I lived in Midian. I know what the world is out there. I'm not one of these closed-minded fellows, who live under a rock somewhere, who doesn't know that it's geschmack to have, macholos, and it's geschmack to have a good time. I get it. But look, I overcame all that. I understood that that's not what this world is all about. And I think this is a very important lesson. Many gedolim have said this. It's not my chiddush. I heard this from Rishay Myra Sheshiva Abzalag Epstein Zatzal. He said, many kids pick up the Gedolim books today and they start reading it and they get the first two pages. He was at 9 years old, he knew Kol HaTorah Kula. At 10 years old, he finished Shas. By 11 years old, he finished Shulchan Aruch. So most kids say to himself, why am I going to read this book? How can I connect to be like him? I think we need to teach our children that there are what the Gedolim are normal people also. Because if you don't make that element, then the kids feel that there's nothing for them. I can never be like them. They're a whole different playing field. I can't even aspire to be like them. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Jewish people, you can aspire to be like me. I was a normal person also. I worked on myself. I grew. I shtayed. But I was born like you. I was born with, desires and temptations. I'm not a Malach Hashem Tzavakos. That's why when they came out with book, when Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's son, Nassim Kamenetsky, who also just recently, not so long ago, passed away, he came up with a book. He wrote a book called The Making of a Gadol. A very controversial book. I haven't yet got a copy of it because it's hard to get. If anyone has a copy and they want to give it to me, at least lend it to me, I appreciate it. But it's a very famous book called The Making of a Gadol. In that book, he collected all the stories that basically shine a normalcy on the Gedolim. And it was widely banned in Eretz Yisrael. Many Gedolim, Reb Zelig was one of them, he felt that this is a very important book. Kids need to see that Gedolim have a normal side to them. They have a human side to them. And Reb Zelig always used to say, because if you don't see normalcy, there's nothing to strive for. Why would any kid want to think that I can be a great, great person if the Gedolim are in another world? That was the goddess of Nathan Zvi Finkel. Nathan Zvi Finkel was an American boy. Grew up in Chicago. People could relate to him and say, listen, I can do it. I grew up in New York. I grew up in America. I can also. We read these Gedolim books. We don't even give ourselves a chance for greatness. We right away, we say, come on. At 5 years old, I wasn't learning Rambam. At 10 years old, I didn't know Shas by heart. At 10 years old, we were playing baseball cards. The answer is you see that the Gedolim had a normalcy to them. Not in a bizarre way. Not to Chas V'Shalom say that we're like the Gedolim. But there's a normalcy to them. They were what we call normal gedolim. Normal. As they used to say about Reb Zelig, he was a normal gadol. He could talk to. He wasn't aloof. He wasn't his head in the clouds. He understood the people. They say over a story with Reb Shmuel Birnbaum. I found the story to be amazing. They say over with Reb Shmuel Birnbaum that there was a new bacher in the yeshiva. And he didn't really fit into the yeshiva in the mir. And Reb Shmuel Birnbaum kind of got a sense that this boy was a little out of place. So Reb Shmuel Birnbaum goes over to him and says, I want to speak with you. Come into my office. So he brings him into his office and he sits the bacher down. He asks the bacher, "Nu, are you a Yankee fan or are you a Dodger fan?" Now, from a typical Rosh Hashiva, that's not your first question you're expecting to hear. But Shmuel Birnbaum knew that this boy needed that because that's what would bring him into learning, and that would that's a normalcy. That's not being totally aloof, head in the clouds. You don't understand how bacher work today.
And therefore, that's how these Gedolim were able to connect to the people, because they were what I like to call normal Gedolim, regular people, not that they weren't Choshev. I don't want anyone to get the wrong idea, Chas v'Shalom. Avada, they were much higher than all of us. But they were able to connect to us. There was a normalcy there. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them, look at me, guys. I'm normal. I lived a regular life. I'm not a malach. I'm not, I was a boss of a dumb like you. The fellow was once staring at the Chedush Erim. So the Chedush Erim asked him, why are you staring at me? So he said, because there's an Indian to stare at a god. So the Chedush Erim told him, V'amech kulam tzadikim, all tzadikim. Look at each other. Look at yourself. Sometimes you need to look into yourself to see what you can work on. There's a famous story that Reb Hesh Weinrib likes to say over. Hesh Weinrib is my cousin through marriage. So I like to say over the story. When he was in his early years in Baltimore still, he was at a crossroad in his life. He wasn't sure, did he want to go into the Rabbanis? They wanted to work on in the mental health area. He was at a crossroad in his life. He wasn't sure what to do. So he called the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He called the Lubavitcher Rebbe to ask Hadrocha from the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And you have to remember, this was before there was caller ID. And he calls the secretary in the Lubavitcher Rebbe and he says that, I want to speak to the Rebbe, I have a question. And my question is, I'm not sure what to do, this, that, and the other. So the secretary says, hold on 1 second, I'll ask the Rebbe. And the Rebbe says, there's a Yid in Baltimore named Weinrib, go speak to him. And Rabbi Hesh Weinrib was like, what? I never gave him my name, I never told him who I am. How did the Rebbe know that? So he said the message that the Rebbe was telling him, sometimes you need to look inward. Now, very often we like to, we go to other people to tell them, what we should do. Sometimes you got to look in yourself and ask yourself what to do. You need to look inward. That's not much like we said earlier. That, part of making decisions, instead of asking someone else to make the decision, sometimes you got to take the bull by the horn and look into yourself and ask yourself, what do I need to do to become a better person? Okay. The Balaturim writes on this pasuk, Es habracha asher tishmu, says the Baal Turim, the Seifei Tevis, the last letters of the words, if you unscramble them, they read the word Torah. Says the Baal Turim, she b'schus ha-Torah ba'a brachas. A person wants brachas in his life, a schus, a segula, says the Baal Turim, for brachas is learning Torah. Says the Chidah, that the Torah is a way to make good decisions. Person wants to live a good life. He wants to live the life of good. He wants to choose the side of happiness. Torah is a great way to get you there. Now, it's very nice to say, I want to live a Torah lifestyle, but I don't know what a Torah lifestyle is. I don't know what it requires, what's it made of. So therefore, says the Chidah, if a person learns Torah, like this Baal HaTurim, if he studies the Torah, it will definitely help him get on that path of Torah. One last pshat on the word Re'eh. I think I saw this from my friend. I think it's worth mentioning. Re'eh means... The pasuk says, look, because today I'm giving you bracha. So many times in life, we miss the brachas that are in front of our own eyes. Re'eh, we need to look. We need to look a little carefully. We need to look a little slower. We need to perhaps take a second to focus on seeing the brachas that we have. We often take for granted some of the wonderful things that we have in our life, and we don't realize that they're brachas. To us, they're not a bracha. To us, they're nothing. Or maybe even worse, they're a klala. Says the Torah, re'eh, stop, gaze, think, look. Analyze what you have in front of you, because perhaps what you have in front of you is the biggest bracha. You just don't realize it. You don't understand it. You're not appreciating it. And the truth is, even if you don't understand it, it's still a bracha, because everything Hashem does for us is ultimately a bracha. We don't understand it always, but I think it's such a powerful lesson of re'eh, see the blessing in your life, see all the wonderful things you do have in your life. Don't harp on the negative, don't harp on the things you're lacking, because there'll always be things that we lack. Instead of focusing on that we lack, let's focus on that we do have. Okay, so that's really just the beginning of the parsha. Now we're going to get into the actual studying of the parsha. So what happens? Hashem says, if you listen, things will be good. If you don't listen, things will not be good. Then the Torah tells us, Pasuk Choftes, V'ayokiv Yacho, Hashem Lekech Al Eretz Asher Tavar Hashem Lishto. Now, next stage, you will be allowed, you'll be brought into Eretz Yisrael, the land that it was given to you as an inheritance. And I will give you the bracha and the klal on Hagizim and Harivo. Then Halehem of Eve Adin Achri Derech Mavar Hashemesh Beretz Haknani. Then the pasuk tells us Ki Atem Ovi Mesei Yarden. You're going to cross the Yarden. Lavoy L'Reshes Arts. How do you get from the desert to Eretz Yisrael? You got to cross the Yarden. That's the beginning of Sefer Yeshua. How do you cross the Yarden? Lavoy L'Reshes Arts. You're going to come to inherit the land Hashem Lekech Neifach Hashem gave to you. The Yerushalem Oisa. You will inherit it. The Yeshavtaba and you will dwell. So Rashi points out why the need to mention that you're going to cross the Yarden. Yeah, okay, fine. That's how you're going to get to Eretz Yisrael. Of course, they had it. Why is that relevant for the story? So Rashi tells us that the Nisim Shal Yardin you Simon B'Yedchem. When you'll see miracles when you cross the Yardin, that will be your proof that Shetavo B'Tir Shor says that you're going to come and inherit the land. So the Chassam Sofer points out that what Rashi over here is telling us, is that the Gemara tells us in Chulin that the water is not allowed to split because it was a Tanasha made into the Bria. The water is supposed to stay water unless you're going to do a mitzvah. So therefore, Zokter Chassam Sofer, the splitting of the Yardin was a proof that we're going to, what we're doing is right. That we're in the right direction, we have the right intentions, we have the right motivations, and that's why the river is going to split. I thought maybe the chiddush over here that Rashi teaching us is that we constantly need inspiration to know that what we're doing is right. We need to be known. We need to know that what we're doing is right. We need the chizuk. We need to see miracles to know, okay, Hashem is with me. Hashem has not forgotten me. Hashem is with me. Hashem has got my back. Even though this is our people that lived with that all the time, they needed that constant reminder that what they're doing is backed and endorsed by HaKadosh Baruch. Then the Torah continues that when you're going to come into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to be exposed to new things. Like I mentioned in the intro, you're going to see new things. And the first thing you got to do is abei tabdunas kolam mekayim. You got to get rid of everything. Get rid of the churches. Get rid of the mosques. Get rid of everything. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Why? Has anyone ever been on a diet? Try being on a diet and keeping all the fatty foods in the house. It's never going to work. You're going to cheat. You're going to dabble in it. The best way is to get rid of it, out of sight, out of mind. Zok the Torah, you can't have that way to Zorah. It's got to be gone, obliterated. Burn it, destroy it, get rid of it. Abei tabdun, get rid of it. I don't want to see it, I don't want to hear about it, because I'm afraid if you'll be exposed to it, perhaps we'll not be able to be miscavered. Break, destroy. Mamish, such strong description of how to destroy by Zorah. Hashem wants no remnants, no reminder, no zecher to any of it. And then Hashem says in Pasuk Dal, but lo yisasun kein Hashem elokecha. But do not do the same to Hashem your God. What does that mean? So Rashi brings a couple of pshatim. One pshat Rashi says it means that you can't just be makir with anywhere you want. You know, the goyim, wherever they want, that becomes a makom kodesh. Not so. Hashem has a specific designated place called the Beis Hamikdash and the Mishkan. That's where you have to have all the things being put. Then Rashi quotes another pshat from Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, it's teaching me that you shouldn't do actions that caused the Beis Hamikdash to be destroyed. Of course, we're not talking about a guy who's actively going to build, destroy a shul, but don't do averus that are going to cause the Mikdash to be destroyed. That's how Rashi quotes from the Sefri, another way of reading the Pasuk. So the Chabina Rav, one of the great Gedolim of lived in the Holocaust, survived, moved to Eretz Yisrael, one of the great, great Gedolim, great Ga'inim, the Chabina Rav. So he brings a kasha from his brother. His brother asked the following kash. He said, we know the halach is, those who did Daf Yomi, wasn't so long ago in the Daf Yomi, it was a while in the Daf Yomi, but it was towards the end of the Masechta, that there's an issa to be Moichik HaShem, you're not allowed to erase Hashem's name. But what about if you do Geram Mechika, accidental, the Gemara talks about if a guy has the name of Hashem on his leg and he goes into the mikvah and the water gets thrown. Basically, the Gemara comes out is that Geram Mechika is okay. So asks the Chabina Rav's brother, I don't understand. If I do an Aveira, that's only a Gramma. That's only indirect. How could you tell me Lo Yisasu Kein Hashem Lekeichem that I'm not allowed to do averus that cause the Beis Hamikdash to be destroyed? That should only be grum. Said it should be nerov because it's not grum. When a person does an averus, it's not just I'm indirectly causing. You're a direct causer. You're not a grum. You're not second step. You're a direct step. When a person does an averus, says Rashi, he's a direct connection, a direct cause, a direct effect for the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. Rav Moshe Shtenbach in the Sefer Tam Vadas, it's a very beautiful pshat on this pasuk. Lo yisasu kein Hashem elokeichem is very often there are shuls, organizations that we don't agree with. We don't like their style of doing things. Lo yisasu kein Hashem elokeichem, don't go around burning them. Don't go around destroying them. Don't do to them what you do to the churches. Lo yisasu kein Hashem elokeichem, don't do that to those shuls that you don't like, because you don't like the rabbi's policy, and you don't like the flag that hangs in front of the shul, and you don't like the tefillah that they say for the Medina. No. Don't go around destroying it. Lo yisasu kein Hashem elokeichem. Don't treat the avodah zarah the same way you treat the shuls. Lo yisasu kein. You're not permitted to do that to a shul. Shuls, you don't agree with, you have ideological disagreements, fine, but you have absolutely no permission to destroy, to burn, to throw rocks at. That's only for the avodah zarah. When it comes to the actual Batei Knesiyos and Batei Midrashos that you don't agree with,
or you perhaps think are wrong, you have no such permission to do so. Then the Torah continues that very interesting pasuk. There'll be a place that Hashem will choose, and that's where you'll go, and that's where will be the Beis HaMikdash. It's interesting. The Rishonim asks this kasha. Rabbeinu Bachai deals with it. The Rambam and Avuchim deals with it. Why does the Torah never tell us where the Beis HaMikdash is? It doesn't tell us. It says, Hashem will choose whatever that place is. So the Medrash writes that you're supposed to l'shichnois yishu. You got to look for it yourself. Seek it out yourself. And when you think you found the right place, ask the Navi. And the Navi will then tell you whether or not you got it right or wrong. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I might have heard this from Reb Baruch Simon. If not, then I guess it's my own chiddush. But this is really, I think, a very important metaphor for life. Sometimes you got to work things out yourself. Try to figure it out yourself. And then when you think you have it right, ask someone smarter, wiser, if you confirm that you're right. Instead of running straight and tell me the answer. No, work it out yourself. See if maybe you can come to the answer on your own. And then, when you think you have it right, ask someone who's wiser, like the Navi, and he will give you guidance to whether or not you got it correct or not. Okay, I'm just going to fast forward a little bit because we're shortly on time. The Torah tells us, so when you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have a Beis HaMikdash, you're going to rejoice there, you're going to bring karbanos there. It says over there, just one pasuk I want to focus on very quickly. Pasuk Yitesi, Shomer Lecha, be careful, Pendazivis HaLevi. Don't forget the Levi. Kol Yomecha Al Admasecha. The Levi is a very unique person and a very unique role in Klal Yisrael. The Levi was self-supported by the community. So therefore says the Torah, when you're going to be in Eretz Yisrael and you're going to have land, don't forget the Levi's portion. Everyone needs to give to the Levi. Everyone needs to support the Levi because the Levi did not have a regular job. The Levi was supported by the people, and therefore don't forget the Levi. It's so easy to forget those people that go nameless. Don't forget the faceless and the nameless. Don't forget those people that are doing klal work, those that are serving others. Don't forget them. Make sure you take care of them. Make sure you remember them. Okay. Then we come to Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Chof Ches. Torah tells us, again, in the middle of the Torah discusses the importance of not drinking blood, whether or not there was a type for drinking blood, whether or not there was not a type for drinking blood, is that seems to be machlokes in the Medrash, whether or not we do have a type for blood. But in any case, I want to focus on this pasuk Chof Ches. Torah tells us, Shmor v'shamata, guard and listen, Eis kol advarim me'ila, all these words, Asher anochi mitzavecha that I'm commanding you, leman in order, yitav l'cha, it should be good for you, u'levanecha, and for your children, achavecha, after you, ad oilam, ki saseh ha'toy v'yashar b'ini Hashem l'kech, because you did good, and yosha, and straight, in the eyes of Hashem. The obvious question is, what does it mean, shemor v'shamata, guard and listen? Shouldn't it be listen and then guard? First you hear what to do, and then you know how to guard it. What does it mean, guard and listen? So Rashi learns shemor doesn't mean to guard, it means to learn. Mishnah, you need to learn. However, the Arachayim HaKadosh learns a different shot. The Arachayim HaKadosh learns, Shemar is Torah v'mitzvahs. Guard the Torah mitzvahs. The Shemat, you know what you have to hear? You have to hear all the derabbanans. There are so many derabbanans, gzeiros, harchokos, gitarim, so many that we have in our life that we all practice or should be practicing. And that's what the Torah is referring to. Shemar, guard, that's the what's the Torah Shabbat, what's in the books. What's not what the Torah says to do. Then the Shemata is the secondary, the rabbanons, the gzeiras, some of them sound far-fetched to us at times, the gedarim, the boundaries, and the limitations that Chazal gave us, those also you have to listen. Why, says the Arachayim HaKadosh? Because that's why you'll have something that will last for generations. That will be something that will keep Klal Yisrael in the straight and narrow. And if you think about it, many of the gzeiras, the rabbanon, at least when it comes to eating, are all because of chasmos. We're afraid that if you're allowed to do this, you may come to intermarry. And we all know that intermarriage is the end of the nation. That is the biggest holocaust that we're living right now, is intermarriage. And therefore, so many of the gzeiras, the rabbanon, that the rabbanon did, were there to ensure that Klal Yisrael does not get swept up, caught up in living, in marrying outside of the fold, and therefore losing Klal Yisrael. And that's how he reads the pasuk. It'll be good for you and your children. You want your children to marry Jewish? Listen to the gzeiras, the rabbanon. Don't, eat with them. Don't, whatever, bishalakum, and pasakum, and yainesach, whatever the old gzeiras, the rabbanon are. They're all there to ensure that you'll have Jewish children. You have Jewish grandchildren, you have Jewish great-grandchildren. That's how the Arachayim HaKadosh learns the pasuk. And then the Torah tells us, a little further, the Torah gives us a very important reminder. Don't follow the ways of the Goyim, and don't say, you know what, I need to research how they're going to do it. You know what, I'm going to go do a research project. I'm going to study religious practices in the outside world, and maybe I'll learn something that I can bring back to Klal Yisrael. Zok Tzarek, that's wrong. We don't learn anything from them. There's nothing productive to learn from them in their style of worship. This was really the beginning of the Haskalah. The Haskalah initially started copying many things from the church. They wanted the shul to look like the church. They wanted an organ in the church. They wanted a lot of things to be like the Goyim. And they claimed, but not everything the Goyim do is bad, but from the Mefarshei Pasuk. We're not supposed to pick up things from the Goyim in with regard to worshiping HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not supposed to do that. Then Hashem says, Loi sasakein Hashem lekechem, don't do that. Why? Because everything they do is disgusting. They do the grossest things. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky reads this passage is that nothing that they do is beautiful. Everything they do is disgusting and repulsive. He says, because they burn their own children. One of the practices was burning your children. That's not beautiful. There's nothing to learn from that. That's repulsive. Nothing is there that we can gain from their style of serving their God that we can use to our HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Stay far away. Don't do any research. Don't try to copy. Don't try to borrow and bring back to Judaism. Not all that stuff is terrible because Hashem is repulsed by all of that. And then the Torah reminds us one more time that we're not allowed to add on to any of the mitzvahs, and we're not allowed to subtract from any of the mitzvahs. So we had a shiur on a Sunday morning, I believe it was either last year or 2 years ago, where we discussed this sugya at length, the issur of Baal Tosef and Baal Tigra, the violation of adding on and to subtracting of mitzvahs. And we mentioned the famous Vilna Gaon. Everyone says over from the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon adds a kasha, that we learned this in last week's parsha. In last week's parsha, or two parshas, I don't remember, we learned also the violation of don't add on and don't subtract from a mitzvah. So why does the Torah write it over here again? So the Vilna Gaon basically says that there's two types of issurim of Baal Tosef. There's adding on to a pre-existing mitzvah, like putting an extra parsha into your tefillin, and then there's creating a mitzvah out of the blue. That's another Isser Baal Tosef. So the Vilna Gaon wanted to say that's the two Baal Tosefs. One Baal Tosef is when you take a pre-existing mitzvah and add on to it. That's one level of Baal Tosef. It's really bad some of first Ramban like this. Then there's another type of Baal Tosef when you take you make a new mitzvah, a new Yom Tov, whatever, you make something new. That's also Baal Tosef. The kasha that we've said over from the Achronim on this Vilna Gaon is it doesn't seem to work with Rashi. Because when Rashi quotes the Isser Baal Tosef, in both places Rashi gives the exact same example. The example Rashi gives is you have five toitofas in your tefillin, or you have five minim in your lulav. That's all examples of what? Taking one mitzvah and adding to it. Rashi should have given you, in this week's parasha, one example of adding onto a pre-existing mitzvah, and the other parasha should have given you making up a new mitzvah. Okay, so we mentioned there's a mashal in Rosh Hashanah that seems to hold like this yisoy, that Baal Tosef exists, even if you're not just adding to a mitzvah, even if you want to make up a mitzvah. But that's a famous idea that many people talk about with Baal Tosef. Chaim Kanevsky writes in his Sefer that maybe the Torah wrote it twice, this way a person's over twice. If a person does Baal Tosef, he's in a violation of two isurim. He's over it twice. And if he subtracts from a mitzvah, he's over that twice as well. We've spoken in the past about the significance of Baal Tosef. Baal Tosef, even though it sounds very frum, I want to do more mitzvahs, I want to be frumer. The answer is that you're not serving Hashem, you're serving yourself. When a person starts to add on and to change the Torah, he's no longer serving Hashem, he's now serving himself. This is something we spoke about in the past, you know, when we were on lockdown and when we were prohibited from davening betzibur from our rabbonim and our doctors, and people made illegal minyanim. So that's not called serving Hashem, that's called serving yourself. It means you want to daven with a minyan because it makes you feel good. But it's not what Hashem wants. You're not serving Hashem. You have to serve Hashem. Says, listen to the doctors, listen to the rabbonim. So if we're supposed to be an Eved Hashem, then we have to do what Hashem says. When we start adding on to the mitzvahs, we start to be serving ourselves, and we're no longer serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Then the Torah continues on to the first parasha of a Novi Shekel. The Torah introduces us to a concept called a false prophet. What's a false prophet? So the Torah describes, you'll have a Navi, a prophet, or a dreamer. He'll give you proofs. He'll prove to you that he's legitimate. And he'll tell you that Hashem wants you to join this religion. And Hashem wants you to not keep this halacha. And Hashem wants you not to keep that halacha. Says the Torah, don't listen to him. Because he's trying to sway you away from Hashem. And it's all a test. So writes the Torah. Now the truth is, throughout Jewish history, we've had many of these types of Nevi'im. The most famous that we all aware of is the Shabtzai Tzvi. Shabtzai Tzvi took place in the mid-17th century, mid-1600s. Shatzvei Tzvi was trying to convince the Jewish people that he was a Messiah. And usually these false prophets popped up right after Klal Yisrael was in a very low place. Right after Tachvatat Chmielnitsky, 1648, 1649, the Jewish people were very depressed. They just went through a Holocaust. That's usually when these Nevi'im Sheker usually have an audience that are willing to listen to them. But the truth is, you should know that the Shabbat Tzvi was very convincing. Many, many people, many Gedolim, Choshev people, were very swept up and very caught and taken by the Shabbat Tzvi. And they say over that the Taz, the great Taz, on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, Taz lived in those years in the 1600s. So when he first heard about the Shabbat Tzvi, he wanted to do research to see if the Shabbat Tzvi is legitimate. And he sent his son to watch the Shabbat Tzvi. And his son watched him and he said, so far everything looks good. He said, there's one thing. He says he sleeps prakton. Gemara tells us in Brachas, you're not allowed to sleep in a prakton position. The Chalik is showing him what prakton is. Prakton means on your stomach, on your back, on your whatever. Homa Chalik is what it means. So the Taz says, I know it. He's not legit. Says the Taz, if he'd be legit, he would not break any halach. He can't be a Novi and then break, well, you know, one little thing. No, it's got to be perfect. Therefore, says the Taz, I know the Shabbat Tzvi is a scam. He just waited to see when it ultimately played out. But the Sukkas David of David Kviat writes in the Sefer, we've had many Nevi'e Shekarim throughout our life. He says they don't come necessarily in the form of a person. They come in the form of a movement. And he talks about communism. Communism was a movement that basically got everyone away from Torah and Judaism. Again, there are movements that are based or led many Jews astray. So he says the Sukkas David, we have to be careful that although we don't have a specific Navi that shows up as an individual, we have movements that are out there today that are really movements that are a form of a Navi Sheker trying to sway us and tell us, oh, you don't have to keep this halacha, you don't have to keep that halacha, this is not relevant, and that's not relevant, and that's old, that's outdated. All these movements that we've had over the past have all been movements to try to sway us away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Pasuk tells us an interesting line. It says, don't listen to him. Hashem's testing you. Do you love Hashem? So why does the Torah choose the word love? So the answer is, I think, very poshut. Because how do you know that you are you're loyal in a relationship if your love is very strong? If your love is in place, then you're going to be loyal and faithful to that person. Says the Torah, the test is not, do you fear me? It's if you love me. If you are only serving me out of fear, so then I can see, you'll sway. Some guy comes and puts on a fancy show, you're gone. But if you really love me, if you really love me, you're not going to just run away with something else because he comes with a flashy trick. That's, if a person is in a loving relationship, he's not going to leave that relationship just because something better or sounds better comes along, because you're devoted. The love is the devotion. That's what the Pasuk means over here. Because if you really love Hashem, then you're not going to be taken, you're not going to be moved by his signs or his testing. Then the Pasuk says, after Hashem you should go. And him you should fear. And his mitzvahs you should keep. And in his voice you listen. And him you serve. And in him you should attach yourself. So the Gemara says in Saita, what does it mean the Pasuk, after Hashem you should go? So the Gemara in Saita says that you have to follow the midas of Hashem. Just like Hashem clothes the naked person, you also have to clothe the naked person. Help out those people that are in need. Just like Hashem is mevaka the cholim, just like Hashem visits the sick, you also have to visit the sick. You need to follow in the ways of a Kaddish Baruch. But there's another Pasuk. There's a Pasuk we say in the Shiva, say, Yamzeh Keli Ve'anvei. And the Gemara has a machloikis what this pasuk means. Either the pasuk means vanveyu, do mitzvahs nicely, or vanveyu means anivahu, I want you to be like me. Just like I'm compassionate, I want you to be compassionate. Just like I'm giving, I want you to be giving. So Rabbi Shawais asks, what's the difference between that pasuk of be like me and this pasuk of do what I do? And Rabbi Shawais points out beautifully. He says there are two messages over here. One is to be compassionate means in your heart. Be like me, like just like I'm compassionate, I want you to be compassionate in your heart. I want you to be a compassionate person. But it's not just enough to be compassionate. I want you to do also. I want you to actively go out and make a difference. And it's not enough just to go out and do. You need to feel it. We spoke about this when we spoke about Chorban Bayis Sheni. The Gemara said, Chorban Bayis Sheni, there was tons of chesed. But you told me that there was Sinas Chinam. The answer is they're not a contradiction. There was tons of gemachs, and there were tons of hatzalah and chaverim. Everything was there. but it wasn't in the heart. You did the action, but it was missing the heart. Says Rabbi Shabbos, you have to have the feeling. It's not enough to do. You can't just have the feeling and not do, and you can't do without the feeling. You need to have both of them. There was a Knesiyah Gedolah in 1929, the Ger Rebbe spoke. And the Ger Rebbe pointed out, when the Torah discusses a Novi Sheker, or all those people that are trying to swear, it always talks in the plural. You need to, says the Ger Rebbe, because when there are people that are trying to bring us down spiritually, our only way of succeeding is through the Tzibur. It's got to be a mass project. We got to do it together. This is the Ger Rebbe, said in 1929. He said, 1929, there are so many people that are trying to bring us down. They're trying to bring us away from Torah mitzvahs. We need to work together. We need to be united as one united front to be able to fight the very strong, strong pressure of the Mesis, those that are trying to bring us away from Hashem. Then the Torah discusses another situation called the Mesis. Let's say, for example, your brother or your son or your daughter or someone who's close to you is going to try to get you to sway away from Torah Mitzvah. This is the parasha of the Mesis. This is actually also the Mekar, the Gemara says in Kedushin, the end of the fourth parak. This is one of the Mekar for the Isur Yichud. Again, we had Shurim about this also online about Yichud, some of the practical ramifications, but the Gemara learns Kedushin from this pasuk. The Gemara calls this a remez to the concept of Yichud. The big machlokes we're showing him is Remez, is Yichud deraisa, is Yichud derabanan, but whatever the case may be, it's actually learned from this pasuk. But there's a very important line in this pasuk. Someone's going to come to you and try a close friend, a re'eyu, a sibling. They're going to try to convince you to tell you what, let's go serve another God. That you and your father never knew. Mefarshim pointed out over here, this is the beauty of a Messiah. We were not the first generation to be religious Jews. We are so lucky that we have previous generations who taught us, who educated us, who passed on the torch of what a Yid is supposed to be like. We have a Messiah. It's such a beautiful Messiah. Don't look for things that are not based on our Messiah. That's just not the way we do things. We have a beautiful legacy that are passed down from generation to generations up till Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. And we have to ask ourselves, is what I'm about to do, is this the Messiah? Is this the way Klai Yisrael does things? Is this the way Klai Yisrael behaves? Is this the way our Zaydas did it? Our grandfathers never did that. Our great-grandfathers never did that. The beauty of a Messiah, to be able to look up to the previous generation and say they didn't do things like that, and be able to pass on to the next generation the proper way to do things. And then we have, again, I'm skipping because we're very short on time, then we have the parasha of Ir HaNidachas. And Ir HaNidachas is an entire city of people that got together to serve Avodah Zarah, to which the Torah basically describes that the entire city needs to be destroyed. It needs to be burned. No remnants, nothing left. Why is an Ir HaNidachas so important? Because an Ir HaNidachas is a display of Chilul Hashem. One person does Avodah Zarah, one thing, but if an entire city, it's a movement of people getting together to do sin. That's a horrific and a terrible Chilul Hashem when there's a mass version of doing an Aver. But there's a very one last, maybe for tonight, I want to mention is a pasuk like this. The Torah says, the nos on the charachim, Hashem will give you mercy. V'richamcha v'hirbecha. What is this pasuk talking about? So the Racham HaKadosh points out something which is so important. The Racham HaKadosh says, we just told you that you got to destroy Jewish people. And these people are Jewish. They're serving like Zerba, but they're Jewish. You got to kill them and you have to destroy their property. Says the Racham HaKadosh, doesn't that turn you into a monster? Doesn't that make you an achzor? Doesn't that make you such a wild person? We're supposed to be compassionate. Says the Racham HaKadosh, don't worry. Hashem says that if you do this the right way, I will make sure you don't lose your compassion. I will make sure that although you just did something so barbaric and something so violent, that will not affect who you are. Why? Because normally it does. The Chafetz Chaim said that he's more worried about World War I's effect, not on the people who lived in the villages, but on the people that had to become soldiers. And they had to become killers. And they had to become murderers. It changes who you are. Golda Meir very famously said, I can never forgive the Arabs for turning our nice Jewish boys into murderers. It changes who you are. You can't deny it. A person spends his whole day long shooting people, even if you're shooting people that are Goyim and are Arabs and are terrorists, it changes who you are. So here Hashem says, I'm guaranteeing it's not going to happen to you. You'll retain that merciful person that you are. You'll continue to be a Baal Rachamim. It will not affect who you are. Only if you're doing it in the mitzvah of Hashem. This is the society we live in today. Why are people so desensitized to violence because we see it all day long. The kids are watching movies and they're watching video games and shooting. No wonder kids go out today and shoot other people because they're desensitized. Says the Racham, because you will not be desensitized. You will still retain and can continue to be a compassionate person. I will make you compassionate. I will not allow all the killing that you see and all the murder that you have to go through to change who you are. Beautiful, beautiful haftacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then we'll just start again. We're already just about over. We'll just start with the opening pasuk of Revi. Bonim atem l'Hashem elkech. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, remember you are sons of Hashem. Therefore, you are not permitted to mourn more than normal for a dead person. What does that have to do with being bonim l'Hashem elkech? So the Mefarshim explained, because you are children of Hashem. You realize that Hashem loves you, and you realize that Hashem has a plan for you. So what are you getting so depressed about? Because you lost a family member, but Hashem has a plan for you. This is not just a random situation that Hashem pulled out of the hat. Okay, it's time for your family member to die. Here it goes. No, Hashem has a beautiful plan for you. You're a son. He loves you. He cares about you. He has a master plan, and it's all fitting into place. So yes, you have to mourn the loss, but not excessively. A person mourns excessively because he doesn't understand what's going on. He can't find any closure. But you have closure because you know Hashem has a plan. He loves you, He cares for you, and this is all part of your master plan. There's no reason for excessive crying. But we also know, and we spoke about this at length in the Sunday morning shift, in the Pasuk of Lois is going to do, there's another pshat in the Gemara. Rashi doesn't actually quote it, but the Gemara has another pshat. I think we mentioned that in the shir also, that Rashi doesn't quote it. But the Gemara has a pshat, Lois is going to do, doesn't just mean not to cut yourself over the loss of a family member, but it means loisasu agudus agudus. We shouldn't have break-offs. We shouldn't have different groups of Jewish people doing different things. And we mentioned that the flow of the Pasuk is beautiful. Bonim atem Hashem elkechem. You are all children of Hashem, which means you're one family. If you're one family, how can you fight with each other? How can you have a break-off and you do it this way? We're all part of the same family. Wherever you have a family that breaks off from each other and does their own thing, we're all one family. But the Chafetz Chaim made a beautiful mashal, which I think is so essential for our life, trying to fix achdus. The Chafetz Chaim said, look at any country. Let's look at the American government. How many different divisions do we have of protection? We have the Navy, we have the Marines, and we have the FBI, and we have all these different divisions. And what are they all doing? They're all here to help protect us American citizens. They're all different. The Marines are different than the Navy, and the Coast Guard is different. Everyone's different, but they're all doing the same thing. Said the Chafetz Chaim, that's Klal Yisrael. We have Litvish people that are doing one thing, and we have Chassidim doing something, and Svaradim. We're all different groups, but we're all doing the same thing. We're all serving Hashem, and by doing so, protecting Klal Yisrael. No reason to look down upon them. The Navy doesn't look down at the Marines. I mean, they think they're better, but they understand that we need someone protecting the ocean, we need someone protecting the land, we need someone protecting in the air. We need all these things. Says the Chafetz Chaim, that's what Klal Yisrael is. We need to have those that are going to daven all day. And we need those people that are going to learn all day. And we need those people that are going to say Tehillim all day. And we need those people that are going to do Chesed. We need all the different fragments and sections of Klal Yisrael. I think it's such a beautiful way of looking at Klal Yisrael, such a way to put aside so much of our differences. Oh, you're different. No, we're not there. We need each other. We need the CA, we need the FBI, we need the Marines, we need all that. We need all these different ways of serving our Kaddish Baruch. Okay? We got up to Revi in Mirz Hashem. If we get to it next year in Mirz Hashem, we'll have to get to more on this parsha. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you Sunday morning. We will have our regular Gemara Shir. Have a wonderful week. Good night. Stay safe and be well.